Weeks, Vicki and I were sitting here thinking, our air conditioning went out. I got this great big nail I got out of my truck tire Friday, and other little things breaking down, and just all sorts of issues like that all in 1 week. Her transmission on her car, just all of a sudden it's going out. And you're sitting there thinking, God, I love you. I serve you. Why do all these things seem to happen to me? And we get the wind in our face, and we wonder, what should we do and how do we go about it? Well, today I want you to know that we all have those things. Then Irma comes along. Now, I know that all of us here have Irma stories. I was out of power 2 days. Well, I was out of power 4 days. I was actually talking, when I was getting my tire fixed Friday, I was talking to a young lady at the tire store, and I've known her for a number of years. And she said that she was out of power 3 days. And she said, but I got a friend of mine who's been out of power for weeks. And I said, how's that? She says, well, she just assumed that since there was a hurricane, she wouldn't have to pay her bill. Well, yeah, you're going to be out of power if you take that attitude. And so, but we all have Irma stories, and I'm sure that every one of us here could compare them to one another. But here's the one thing I want you to think about. None of us live in Puerto Rico. And there are a lot of folks who are really hurting, and the wind has been in their face time and time again. And so what do you do when the wind's in your face? If you have a Bible, I want to read a passage to you from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 6. Your elder brother Mike has wrote a little bit about this, and I want you to look, if you would, at the Gospel of Mark, chapter 6. It's going to look like I'm reading two stories, but it's really just one, and we'll find out about that a little later on. But the Gospel of Mark, chapter 6, beginning in verse 41. And I'll read this to you, and then we'll just come back. And I just want to share with you today four principles, if you will, four ideas, four thoughts, four things you can embrace when the wind is against you. Look at beginning with me at verse 41. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, he looked up to heaven and blessed them. And he broke the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set before them, and the 2 fishes divided he among them all. And they did all eat and were filled. And when he took up 12 baskets full of the fragments and the fishes, and they did eat of the loaves, were about 5,000 men. And straightway he constrained his disciples to get into a ship and go to the other side before unto Bethsaida, while he sent away the people. And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. And when he was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land, and he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the 4th watch of the night, he cometh unto them walking upon the sea, and he would have passed them by. But when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit and cried out, for they all saw him and were troubled. And immediately he talked with them and said to them, be of good cheer, it's I, be not afraid. And he went up into them into the ship, and the wind ceased. And they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure and wondered, for they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. Father, this morning I just pray you take your word, these simple thoughts, and make them grow into our life. And help us, Father, to embrace them, because we're going to face some windstorms, and we need your help in Jesus' name. Amen. Did you notice in verse 48, it says the wind was contrary. The wind was against them. The wind was right in their face. They're trying to go this way, and they're getting pushed back that way. I'm not one of these preachers that makes a lot of promises, you know, but I will make you this promise. If you live long enough, the wind will be in your face. If you don't believe me, get married. If you don't believe me, have children. If you don't believe me, loan money to a friend. Yeah. If you don't believe me, join a church. If you live long enough, something's going to come up. You're going to have some kind of a difficulty. Life has windy days, and sometimes it is at home and in our marriage. Sometimes it's in our health, and I've experienced some of that these last few years. Sometimes it's in finances, and we just can't seem to get all the things paid that need to be paid. And that's why, Brother Damon and Brother Mike, that's why you need Fellowship Church. That's why you need a church family. Because you see, when you have a church family that you can gather with and pray with and walk with and journey with, you know what we do here? We do life together. And when you do life together and the wind is against you, it's just so much better to have someone holding this hand and someone holding this hand as you go through those stormy days. And so today, I want to share with you four things, just four thoughts, simple. We won't be here long. And I just want to share with you these four ideas that if you'll embrace these, when those windstorms come, it's amazing at what God will and can do in your life. So I'm just going to give them to you. They're pretty simple. Verse 46. And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. The first principle I want to give you of what you do when the wind is in your face is simply this. Pray before the wind starts blowing. I mean, before the storms come, be a person of prayer. Be a person. Barna did a research among Christian people, and he came up with this conclusion in his research that only that the average Sunday morning person that goes to church every Sunday only prays about 5 minutes a day. Folks, that's not going to scare the devil a bit. That's not going to stop windstorms. And we need to be people of prayer. We need to be people that pray before the storms start. You might have gone through a storm yesterday. You know, just recent days, you've had these issues and problems, and you've been working through it. If not, you may be going through a storm right now. Of a crowd this size, I'm sure there's several of you sitting here right now saying, "Preacher, I'm having problems today. I don't know what I'm going to do when I leave this church this morning." And you might be going through a storm now. Some of you don't know it, but when you wake up tomorrow, there's going to be a windstorm in your face. You have no idea it's coming. You weren't planning for it. And so I just want to challenge you. Jesus got up into that mountain. He knew that windstorm was coming. And he got up into that mountain, and he's up there all night praying before the windstorm gets there. Pam, you went through Andrew. Vicki and I spent about a week down there in those following days just in disaster relief stuff. We were over in Naranja Park, tough area. But there's a story that came out of Hurricane Andrew in 1992. And you know, when preachers tell stories, we don't always know if they're true. You know, another preacher told me, so I'm going to assume it's true. But here's what he said. He said that there was a woman in his church, and he didn't really know her because she never showed up. He could recognize her face, but didn't even know her name. And the storm had been over, and she'd come in, and she was mad, and she was angry, and she was kind of pounding his desk, saying, "Pastor, it just seems like you've just been lying to me all this time. I prayed and I prayed and I prayed. That storm was getting closer, and I prayed, and my house is not insured. I didn't know what I was going to do, and I prayed, and I just begged God to spare my home, and it just wiped it out. My home was totally destroyed. I don't think God heard me at all." The pastor said, "Well, maybe he was busy with his regular customers." My wife, sitting back here, we've been married 43 and a half years. Right out of high school. I was a student at Purdue University and promised her she was going to be married to a rich lawyer. And then I did a bait and switch. And when I got her to say yes, the Lord called me into ministry. And we've been serving the Lord all these years. And I want to say something about our marriage, about her. She does not nag me. Are you hearing me? She doesn't. I only have really one job in the house. I empty the dishwasher. You know, that's all I do. But you know, I don't just go walking around looking to see if it's full of clean dishes or not. I just walk right by it. I really don't care. But she'll say, "Hey, Rick, the dishwasher's full of clean dishes." Okay, I got that. That's my job. I can do that. But maybe not right then. And then so a little later on, maybe as, you know, I notice a couple of dishes piling up in the sink. And then I'll see a little sticky note. You know, she might just put it on the mirror when I'm getting up, getting ready to leave in the morning. Dishwasher, smiley face. And she doesn't nag me, she just writes sticky notes. And if it goes a little longer and the dishes are piling up more in the sink, there are a couple of places I go every day. One of them is to the peanut butter jar. I am a peanut butter nut. And if she really wants me to do something, she'll put a sticky note on the peanut butter jar because she knows I'm going to be there. And then she, I have a drinking problem, and it's with Diet Coke. I know, don't, all you health addicts, just don't, you're wasting your breath. And she'll put it on the Diet Coke. Now it says, dishwasher, exclamation point, no smiley face. But she doesn't nag. But it, some of you guys would be bothered by the sticky notes, but I'm not, because she also sticky notes God. In our car, there's usually two things on the dashboard of her car. The latest Bible verse she's trying to memorize, and a sticky note of prayer needs. She said she was driving down the road, and a guy, she had her high beams on, but she didn't know it. And a guy flashed his lights at her, and she just kept driving. She knew her high beam lights weren't on, because she couldn't see him because of the sticky note over the high beam light signal. And he flashed his lights at her again. And he flashed his blue and red lights on her the third time. She sticky notes God. There'll be an, in our bathroom mirror, you know, you get up, guys get up, and they, it takes me about 30 seconds to get it together. The late Irma Bombeck said, that's proof that God is a man. Because women got to do so much more. You know, paint, putty, hair, all that. And so she stands in front of the mirror a lot longer than I do. And sticky notes right there. Pray for this person, this person. If it's a real serious matter, I mean something that, you know, really needs intense prayer, she puts the prayer list in a baggie. And in that little, like a sandwich bag. And she tapes it to the shower wall. So while you're in there in the shower, and she'll give me a test. I'll get out of the shower and she said, did you pray for the list in the shower wall? I said, well, I did. Well, tell me what it was. And I'll tell her, because I do. And there's one on there right now. And it says, it just simply says, it's in a bag and it's right there. And it says, pray for Vicky that she pleases God today. And so she puts, and what we've noticed is the prayer needs that end up on the shower wall, that person will either get radically saved or die. One or the other. And there was a person that came to her, I think it actually, Vicky, I think it was in this church, came to her about 10, 12 years ago and said, my husband's acting up. And I want you to pray for him, but not in the shower. And so she sticky notes God. But folks, what I'm trying to say is as we're going through life, if we become people of prayer and talking to this one who loves us so much, the strength that we garner from that and the things that God's willing to do, what do you do? Spend more time complaining or more time praying? And so I just want to challenge you there, because it says in verse 48, he saw them. I mean, he saw them. He is looking out for you. He sees you. You say, I'm going through a lot of stuff. He knows that. I have this problem. He sees that. And he cares about that. And so every time you pray for a need, you need to know this. God cares more about it than you do. And so pray. Pray before the wind starts blowing. That's my first thought. Let me give you a second one. Also, and this is probably the most hard, most difficult thing for me to apply in my own life. Vicky and I were talking about this last night. Well, let me just read the verse to you, and then you'll kind of grasp this. Look at verse 48. And he saw them toiling in rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he came unto them, walking on the water. The second thing, it's just really hard to grasp, hard to live with, hard to apply. And you're going to say, Brother Rick, you asked me to do something I really can't do. But here's what it is. When you're going through a storm, don't miss the blessings. Don't miss the blessings in the windstorm. They really are there. There are things that God might be doing and teaching in your life. He might be preparing you for, you might be going through a windstorm now because God is preparing you for something much, a mountain much higher to climb. And it just really is a blessing. It's a gift. It's a way of God saying, I really want to help you through this. Because you know what? If the wind is always blowing at our back, we will never grow. We will never get stronger. Yeah, there's a question that comes to me when I look at that verse. If you look up there, and would have passed them by. My question is, did they almost miss Jesus, or did Jesus almost miss them? You and I know the answer to that. Here's what I've discovered, Damon. So many times when people are going through a storm, and maybe you're going through one now, or maybe you'll hit one tomorrow, one of the things that we tend to do that we shouldn't do is that we walk away from God during these storms. Many times as a pastor, I go to see a family that's been out of church for a couple of months, and I'll sit down in their home with them, and I say, boy, you know, I don't understand. I know you're going through some stuff, but you've just sort of totally abandoned the house of God. And they'll say to me, well, I got to work through these things first. I got to try to get through this stuff, and then I'll be back, preacher. I'll be back. Just give me some time to work through this. Sometimes we have a blessing right there in the storm. God wants to do an amazing thing, and we quit God. We just walk away and go another direction. I remember when Katrina went through. I know you remember it more than I do, Damon. Katrina went through. I was operating a disaster relief command center in Hattiesburg, Mississippi. We set up there at the big church there on Main Street and set up. I had 27 trailers of people going out. We took trees off 1,100 homes in Hattiesburg alone. And so there was a pastor down in, am I saying this right, Goshen, right on the coast, Goshen. And there was a pastor down there. He got word to me that now the cell towers were down and you couldn't communicate. But he had some urgent things he needed to communicate. And so he sent somebody up to get me, and he said, is there some way he can get a cell phone with a satellite? And I had a satellite cell phone that was given to me during that disaster relief time. And so I drove down there and met him in his parking lot. His church was all tore up. He had two or three members there. They were pulling out carpet and pulling. It's like day three after the storm. They're pulling out stuff. And he said, I just really got to communicate with some people. And so I gave him my satellite phone. I said, here, as much time as you need, I'll just stay right here with you, and you make all the calls you need to make. And while he's making these phone calls on his satellite phone, this woman walks up. It's one of his church members. She's an older lady. She's very distinguished looking, very, very kind of a shy lady. But she walks up, and the pastor hugs her, and he says to her while I'm standing right there, I understand your house was totally destroyed. She says, Pastor, it is not only totally destroyed, there's not even a single 2x4 left on the foundation. It's all gone. And he says, I guess you've lost everything. She says, well, in my yard are antiques, china, clothes, furniture. I even saw money. In my yard's all this stuff, but none of it's mine. It blew here from somewhere else, and I don't know where my stuff is. I've walked around kind of looking for it, but it's sort of a hopeless task. And he said to her, well, then how can I help you? And she said, I didn't come here looking for help. I heard some of us were down here trying to get the church ready so we could have a worship service on Sunday. I come down here to help you. Wow. Don't miss the blessing. She looked at him and said, yeah, I've lost everything except Jesus. And that's enough. Don't miss the blessing in the storm. My wife, she has for the last 10 years really been working with homeless women. Been longer than that. I remember back when our kids were in high school, she brought a high school senior home. She was a Cherokee Indian young lady. She was pregnant. And her parents told her, if you don't have an abortion, then you can't live here anymore. And she brought her home, and that baby was born, and we kept her whole senior year. And it was a beautiful thing. At the end of her senior year, right there in my living room, I performed the wedding between her and the young man. And so she's brought homeless women home. We've had Casey stay with us for a long time. Diane stay with us for a long time. For the last 7-8 years, she's been working with this homeless woman named Melody. Melody is my age. Melody has a college degree. But Melody has seizures, and she'll be walking along or riding her bike and just collapse. And so no one will hire her. Melody has been living, listen to this, in Gainesville in a a storage unit that has all of her belongings in it, and a friend pays her $90 a month storage unit rent, and she sleeps, lives in that storage unit. The storage unit owner sort of just turned the other way and just let her live there for the last 14 years. And Melody just lives there, struggles. She's got all kinds of issues. She's always in a storm. She's been attacked. She's been beaten. She's been hurt. She's been robbed. And Vicky's been loving her and caring for her. And just recently was able to work with her. And she was able to get into this, it's kind of a dilapidated, modular, one-room unit. But it's no longer in a storage building. And it's free for her. And she gets to sleep there now. And she has a home. She told Vicky, I just can't, every morning I get up and realize I woke up on a bed and I'm not on the ground. And she says, I just kiss the floor and I thank God that I've got this great blessing of a bed and a roof to sleep under and sleep on. We camp a lot. And so just not long ago, Vicky said to her, hey, we're going to go camping over at the beach. Why don't you come with us? And she says, Vicky, I will never sleep on the ground again. You might think that's fun, but try it for 14 years. Don't miss the blessings in the storms. Third thought. Look at verse 50 and 51. For they all saw him and were troubled, and immediately he talked with them and said to them, be of good cheer, it's I, be not afraid. And he went unto them into the ship. The third thought I want to give you is not only do you pray before the storm starts blowing, and not only do you look for the blessings in the storm, but thirdly, whatever you're going through, invite Jesus into the ship. Invite him into your boat. You know, that's why this church, what is this church, almost 30 years old now? Something like that? And God did not plant this church here 3 decades ago so you'd have a comfortable place to come and sit on nice chairs in air conditioning and hear people come up here and lead you in worship and preach God's word to you. That's not why he planted this church here. But he planted this church here that you might invite Jesus into boats. That you might help people to know him and to know Christ, and people that you know going through storms and the storms you're going through yourself, that you'd be able to invite them to come along and be a part of something bigger and better than they've ever known in their life. The purpose of this church is that Jesus might be known. And that you can do that as you invite people into the boat. Invite people into your boat. We have a canoe. It's an old canoe. It's heavy fiberglass. It's kind of out of commission right now because it's leaking water pretty good. So I've got a friend that's patching it up. But we typically like to load it on the truck and go down here up 441 to the boat ramp just on the other side of Winn-Dixie in High Springs. And we put in there and we canoe around there somewhere. Usually we canoe upstream and then back to that boat ramp. And so we were canoeing one morning. It was a hot, hot summer day. So we got out early, and we were done canoeing by 10, 11 o'clock, you know, and the heat was getting up. At that time, I had this old Silverado truck that had just a single cab truck, and the canoe stack stood off the truck more than it was on the truck. And that big old 16-foot canoe, and I had it all strapped down real good. And so we're going down the road with a giant canoe sticking off the back. It's coming down 441, and we noticed somewhere between Winn-Dixie and the traffic light was this woman. She's an African-American woman. She was very large, and she was carrying her Winn-Dixie grocery bags, and she was just sort of just walking real slow like this, and sweat was coming off of her. And I went by, and I noticed that, and Vicky said, Rick, stop, pick her up. And I had several thoughts. Where are we going to put her? I mean, she can't go in the back of the truck because the canoe's back there. It's barely hanging on. And this single-seat cab, I don't know that we could put the two of us and her in there, because she's, like I said, she's very large. And so I kind of ignored it. Vicky said, turn around. I said, I've got a canoe sticking off. I'm like a semi-truck with no wheels on the back. She said, you can turn around. And so I made a U-turn on 441. I went back up towards Winn-Dixie, made another U-turn, and I come back, and I get to her, and Vicky rolls down the window, would you like a ride? She says, oh, I would. My car wouldn't start in the parking lot. I live in Alachua, and I don't have a cell phone, And so I'm just trying to get home. Watch it. Walking from High Springs to Alachua with your groceries that large and this terrible heat. I thought, boy, that's awful. Again, and so Vicky just got over real close and she got in. We get the door closed and we're just going down the road. And, you know, if Vicky would have just left it at that, it'd have been fine. We'd have got her home. We'd have done a good deed. She would have, you know, she would have got her ride back and we would have felt good about it and everything would have been fine. No, she can't do that. She sees a captive who needs Christ. And she starts talking to her about Jesus, and the woman is immediately offended, immediately uncomfortable, immediately shutting down. And Vicky just don't let it go. And she's still talking to her, still sharing with her, telling her how she needs Jesus. And we're not to her house. Now we're just coming into the edge of Alachua. And she says, "Stop the truck." I said, "We're not there yet. Stop the truck." And I pull over and stop, and she gets out. She says, "I've gone far enough." I said, "You're not there yet." And we drove off. And Vicky looks at me and says, "See, Rick, that's how you do it. Our goal was to help a woman in this heat get home, and we failed." No, that's not how you do it. But maybe it is. Can I give you some advice? Damon, don't get mad at me for saying this. But stop inviting people to church. And do something else instead. Invite them into your life. And when you invite them into your life, they will begin to see something they've never known. They will begin to understand things they didn't have any comprehension of. And when you invite them into your life, then you can take them on a journey. And Miss Vicky, they'll ride all the way to the destination. And that's what we do. That's what we do as God's people. Storms are coming. Invite Jesus in. Your marriage, invite Jesus in. Financial issues, invite Jesus in. Health things, you know, these awful things that come upon our life, invite Jesus in. Your job, your children, your grandchildren, invite Jesus into the ship. Then one last thought. Look at verse 51 again and then verse 52. "And when he went up to them into the ship, the wind ceased." Can you imagine? I mean, they thought they were going to drown. Storm raging. Jesus steps on board and just everything calms down. Wow. They were so amazed in themselves beyond measure. In other words, they just couldn't even talk. They're like, "Wow, God has done this amazing thing through his son Jesus. This one that we call Master, masters the sea." And they wondered. I think maybe that means they just couldn't figure it out. You know why they couldn't figure it out? They'd forgotten something. And here's my fourth thought I want you to embrace. Look at verse 52. "For they considered not the miracle of the loaves." They had forgotten what Jesus had just done a few hours before. They'd forgotten the miracles of the past. What do you do when the wind is in your face? Don't forget the miracles. My wife has on our refrigerator, I was reading it yesterday, and it's not a sticky note about the dishwasher. And I did notice it was full of dishes this morning. I did notice that. But she has a miracle list right now on our refrigerator right now. It's a list of all the miracles, not that God's done way back, but that he's done the last few weeks, months. And every time it seems that God does something amazing, she writes it down. There must be 7 or 8 of them on that list right now. Don't forget the miracles of the past, because God is always doing them. I travel a lot, and so I get free hotel nights. And I had a free hotel night at the beach in Fernandina at the Hampton Inn, right by the beach there on Sadler Road. And I said to Vicki, why don't we just go over there on a Friday night? Let's just go over to Fernandina Beach and spend the night free and come back. And she said, that'd be great. And I said, we'll fly. And so it's about a 35, 40-minute flight. If you fly right over Jacksonville International Airport, and Pam, I had to get approach control, get permission, fly right over Jack's Airport. As soon as you get over, you just drop down, you land in Fernandina. We went to the motel. It was just great. Get up the next morning, and I look out the window, and I'm concerned. It's drizzling. There's just no openings in the sky. And Vicki had a bunch of appointments that morning. She really needed to get back. She said, what are we going to do? I said, well, I think what we'll do is I'm going to rent a car, and I'm going to drive you back to home in Alachua, and then I'll drive back with the car. By then, the weather will clear up, and I'll fly the plane home. And she says, no, Rick, God has always shown us how. Let's just go get in the plane. He'll open a hole. I said, well, you better be a good prayer. And so we go over to the airport. It's still drizzling. I get in the airplane. We start it up. I get down the end of the runway. And lo and behold, I saw sunlight. A little bit of sunlight, a little bit of a glare, a little bit of an opening. And there was just this opening in the clouds. And I said, let's go. And I took off and got shot through that hole and got up on top of those clouds and got away from that little coastal storm there. And we were flying on back when approach control called me. And they said, I'm 240 Alpha. 240 Alpha, did you just take off from Fernandina Beach? I said, sure did. And they said, we've got another pilot down there trying to take off. And he said, there's just no way to get off the ground. How did you do that? And I said, my wife prayed for a hole. Tell him to pray. And the guy, it's real silent. And then he says, Roger that. Don't forget the miracles of the past. What do you do when the wind is in your face? I have a good friend. I've only been flying 10 years. And I met him when I first got I bought an old Cessna, parked it up there in the Worthington Springs Airport. And Bill lives right there on the airport. He's a great aircraft mechanic, great, great mechanic of any kind. I watched him over the last few years totally build his own airplane. Just sits right there. He flies it all the time. Just build it from bushel baskets of metal. Amazing man. He is a Vietnam War hero. SEAL Team 2, Navy SEAL. A tough man. Strong man. 76 years old. He was born in 1941, and he has two 1941 Chevy trucks. He built them both from baskets of junk. Amazing guy. But he called me 2 days ago. He says, Reverend Rick, I'm not sure, but I think I'm the only Christian he knows. Reverend Rick, Linda died this morning. His wife had been, of 50 years, had been fighting cancer. And I said, Bill, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. He says, Monday. I said, I know what you want. I'll be there for you. And so tomorrow, pray for Bill. I'll preach his wife's funeral. He's going through a windstorm that he has no idea how to handle. He told me one time when they were fighting this cancer, he says, preacher, as a Navy SEAL, if I came across an enemy with my bare hands, I could tackle it and take care of it. Nothing ever frightened me, but this scares me. Do you have a storm like that? I want to invite you this morning, come and pray. These altars are here to help you through storms. Maybe you need to go take another person here. You know they're going through something, but maybe they don't want to admit they can't handle it. You know what they need? They need someone to walk with them. Take them by the hands. I know you're struggling. Let's go and ask God. He cares more. Maybe today you've been thinking about becoming a Christian. It's been on your mind, on your heart. Didn't really know what to do or how. Oh, I would love to pray with you, Brother Mike, Brother Damon. We'd love to pray with you. If you want to pray with a woman, my wife would love to pray with you. Whatever it is that God is doing in your life, whatever storm you're facing, whatever need you have, invite Jesus into the boat. Amen. Would you stand with us? Just come. Many of you just need to come and pray. Call on Him right now. Just call on Him. He wants to hear. He's ready. He's listening. He's able. Whatever it is, whatever storm you're facing, I invite you to come.
I want you guys to know that this is not a place where you want to hold on to things that you've been dealing with. If you're burdened by anything that you're dealing with or someone in your family is dealing with, God does miracles when you bring those things to Him. You may pride yourself in how strong you've been for others, or how well you have handled or carried some of the things that you've personally gone through. But there comes a time in our life where we have to lay those burdens actually down at the foot of the cross, giving them to Jesus. There's a time in your life where you really do have to release things that you cannot control, you cannot grasp, you cannot doctor up, you cannot fix, you cannot repair. You have to bring it back to the manufacturer. Amen? Many of us want to tinker around and try and fix situations because we've been able to repair things in the past. But bringing them back to the manufacturer is what you may need to do this morning. So we're going to give you one more opportunity to come to the altar and give whatever it is you need to give to God. Because you'll grow frustrated. You'll grow weary thinking that you're doing the good thing when God's calling you to just give it to Him. Here's your opportunity.
Thank you.